changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Do you experience depression? Have you experienced depression? Do you know someone who is experienced or has experienced depression? I've struggled with it a lot my life. I think a lot. Now, I've never actually talked a lot with other people. I know that I experienced it more often than people I share my life with, such as my ex-wife. She would call it, and I thought it was a really great way of saying it. We would all have, occasionally, we would have a mental illness day. In other words, we were, just like you get physically ill and you got to take a day or two to get over it, we all have a day when we have a mental illness day. And on those days, it feels sometimes like we've slid down a hill. And this is how she and I used to describe it to one another. And you've slid down a hill, and no matter how you dig to try and climb to get back up that hill, it feels like you just can't gain anything on your way up. Depression's a drag. I once interviewed a woman who wrote a book on overcoming depression, and she said something in her book, and I'm going to share it with you today, but it's so common that it's overlooked. There's this idea of hiding in plain sight. You know, when you want to not be caught, to hide right in front of people. Dan Brown in his books like The Da Vinci Code talks about how clues are hidden right in front of us. Well, the thing that I've discovered about depression was something that was right there in plain sight and is something that is probably the most cited piece of advice that people give. And yet it is one of the most ignored things. And it happened to me. I've really been working on this and I've shared it with you. But I woke up, I don't know, 6 weeks ago maybe, and I was in an FUNK. I was in a funk. I had slid down the hill. Somehow during the night, I had fallen off my usual positive, upbeat, enjoying life thing to where I was Eeyore, and Eeyore was not happy. I was Eeyore in a bad mood, okay? I was just grumpy. My mom would call that waking up on the wrong side of the bed. She used to say that. Boy, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Maybe you need to go back to bed and get up again. Again, there was that hint. So I got up that morning, and whenever I'm bummed, which luckily is rare, I woke up and I grabbed my journal and I started to write, which is what I do. I stab my problems with a pen. You've heard me say that many, many times. When I have stuff going on through my head, judgments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I give those things voice. And then I look at them for truth. And if there is none, I question the truth and I move on. But I also look for thoughts behind it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I started going, all right, what sort of put me in this mood? What sort of got me going in this direction? And I said, well, I woke up this morning, don't let this freak you out, at 5:45 in the morning. Next week, it's going to feel like 6:45. But I wake up at that time every morning. I don't use an alarm clock. I don't ask to be woken up at that time. That is just when my body now decides, boom, Will, you're getting up. And that has been the truth for years. But instead of getting up and going through my morning routine, I began to do what seemed kind of like luxurious. I had several hours before I would get up to do the jumpstart. So I thought, I'm going to sleep a little bit later. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong. Teddy was sacked. He was on his back with all 4 feet up. So I decided, all right, I'm going to sleep for a little bit longer. And as I lay there trying to sleep, the night demons came in. You know what I mean? It was 5 o'clock in the morning, but doesn't matter. Those demons that make you, the thoughts that go through. And by demons, I mean thoughts. And the word in metaphysics, the word demons in the Bible simply means negative thoughts that run through your brain. And then these negative thoughts start running through my brain. And I'm lying there and I'm trying to go back to sleep, but I'm marinating in everything that is wrong. Luckily, complaining has to be expressed. You know what I mean? Or else I would have definitely been complaining. I was complaining inside my head. Got up, got my journal, started writing about all this. And I realized I was fine when I first woke up at 5 o'clock or 5:45. But when I finally got out of bed at closer to 7, I was just in a funk. And during that time is when the negative thoughts came. And this is, I've told you, this is the kind of nerd I am. I think Tim Ferriss and I have a lot in common. When he studied weight loss, the dude weighed his own poop. So I would never do that. Luckily, that's not my genre. But mine is, you know, figuring out, becoming an inner winner is how I like to put it. So I started thinking about this and I realized when was the last time that I woke up in this kind of a funk? When was the last time I woke up depressed? Several weeks ago. Started looking at things that had happened prior to my waking up that way and other times. And I also asked myself, do I tend to become depressed late in the afternoon or is it first thing in the morning? And the answer for me was the first thing in the morning, which is interesting because in all my years of therapy, which I could have become a major real estate developer for what I've spent in therapy, I have talked to them many times, different therapists, saying, when I wake up in the morning, a lot of times I feel sad. A lot of times I feel unhappy. And so now this person I'm working with has taught me the importance of, and this is how you overcome depression, sleep. I know that when you're depressed, a lot of times people want to curl up and they sleep. It's often an indicator of sleep, of depression is sleep. But it's not real sleep. It is painful sleep. It is coming in and out of sleep. One of the things that I discovered, I learned on a podcast, was when they were sleep depriving the detainees at Guantanamo Bay, you don't sleep deprive someone by keeping them up for days. That is not sleep deprivation. That can drive you hysterical, don't get me wrong, but to get someone pliant and sad and doubting themselves and disconnected, you get someone to go to sleep and then you wake them up between 45 minutes and an hour later. And when you wake them up, you make them do something. You toss the bed. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm saying this is what was done in Guantanamo Bay. They would strip all the covers off the bed and then tell the person to put the covers back on the bed, the sheets. And then they would turn off the lights for the person to go back to sleep. And they would let them hit that deep sleep and then they would wake them up again. And I realized that this sounds silly and I'm not blaming anyone, but no one ever told me how to go to sleep at night. I have always had this thing about falling asleep on the couch, and I've shared this somewhat, but until very recently, I didn't realize how this idea of interrupted sleep is so bad for your emotional state and causes you to wake up diminished in the very beginning. Therefore, if something unhappy or negative happens, which is going to happen every single day of our lives, we're already preset down. We're depressed. Think of the button. You press down, you know? And we're already there simply because of how we were not sleeping. And I asked myself as I was journaling, I was like, wait a minute. I thought that the whole thing was to figure out all my problems and everything like that. And then I would, you know, work out how to not be depressed and I'd never be depressed again. The interesting thing is, it's not about that. That's the ego's delusion. It's about getting 6 to 8, depending on your body and your needs, of as uninterrupted sleep as possible. And so for people my age, that often means taking saw palmetto so you don't have to get up and go to the bathroom more once or twice or more during the night. By the way, the time that I remembered that I was bummed out before this, was depressed during the day, I realized that I had gone to bed and had woken up, because I counted it, 17 times during the night. So imagine, bad sleep is worse than no sleep. Bad sleep is worse than no sleep. What is sleep, by the way? So by the way, what I'm telling you is, if you have a morning ritual and you don't have a nighttime ritual, you need a nighttime ritual. So I set it up that I don't eat anything or drink anything after 8 o'clock at night. Make sure I have drunk plenty of water, because you tend to get, I get thirsty during the night, but early enough so that I can go to the restroom. And then I have this thing that the TV has to be off at a certain time if I am watching TV. And then I have this checklist of things I do, brushing my teeth, putting oil on my skin, you know, turning on the fountain in the bedroom. I have a fountain in my bedroom. It probably sounds more glamorous than it is. I think I paid $40 from Amazon. And it runs. I turn it on. Then I have a little oil diffuser next to my bed that it diffuses lavender into the air while I'm sleeping. I know this sounds extreme, but I don't want to be sad and unhappy during the day. I don't want to spend the day feeling like my day is not a good day and I'm not a loved person or whatever, those thoughts that go through my mind. And so we have to invest the time for this not to happen. The other thing is that I've become absolutely obsessed with, which I thought was silly, is a sleep mask. When I get on airplanes, I have one in my blazer pocket. When I travel, use it. When I am sleeping at home now, I always, always use it. It has made a huge difference. So I do everything I can to prepare my senses for bed. I brush my teeth as a way of letting my taste buds know the day is over. You know, this is another time to brush my teeth and I'm ready for bed. When I go to bed, there's the diffusion of the oils. There's also the sounds of the fountain. And then I make sure that my eyes are completely covered. I once heard a podcast from a woman who was a sleep expert. She was talking about the fact that, it was a gentleman, actually, it was a guy. He was talking about the fact that even a little bit of light in your room while you're trying to sleep actually will get through your eyelids. My older brother and my dad struggle with emotional issues, and they both passed now. And both of them had one thing in common. They slept with the television going at the foot of their bed on CNN. Think about that. Not only does the light and the noise disrupt your sleep, but your brain is hearing all this. And so you're taking in all the negativity of the news. It's funny, I used to treat sleep as something that just my body did, you know, fall asleep on the couch, get up, drag my butt to the bed, wake up whenever. But once I started developing these rituals, I would wake up and I would say to my Amazon device, what time is it? By the way, if you whisper to them, they whisper back. So I say, let me give you an example. Alexa, what time is it? Probably couldn't hear it. It whispered so softly. But when I whisper what time it is, I realize I have been asleep the entire night. The other day, there was going to be a meeting of plant-based in paradise. It's a group of vegans and vegetarians that get together once a month for lunch. And I have joined them once before and plan to join them on Sunday. The problem was the event was on Saturday, but I had somehow convinced myself it was on Sunday. And I had invited someone to go, a young woman who's a yoga teacher, who's a vegan vegetarian, where I go to yoga. She's my yoga teacher. And we were sitting there and she kept using this term, and I want you to take this in, full power, full power. She likes to live her life such that she is always at full power. Now, full power does not mean full speed, all right? It is like your cell phone. It's having the battery fully charged. And the only way to get that is to have a good night's sleep. Every exercise program, every weight loss program, therapy, all says, get a good night's sleep. And we go, okay. That's what I used to say. Okay, well, I'm getting a good night's sleep. No, I wasn't. I really had absolutely no idea. I was talking with a man who's a therapist for famous people, basically, the other day. That's what he does. And he says that he noticed that super creative people who make a big impact in the world, actors, directors, writers, they often have had struggling, difficult childhoods, and they end up with some sort of mental issue. And because of that, they can't sleep. And he says, the first thing I do with them is not to go back and dig into their past or work through their problems. I get them to sleep good. And he says that usually takes care of about 50 to 75%. So if you ever struggle with depression, are you sleeping? Are you making sure you are getting a good night's sleep? Now, this is not, once you're in depression, necessarily how to get out of it. Although I will tell you that last time I woke up and was bummed out, I went back to bed. I went back to bed and slept for a couple hours, and I woke up feeling much, much better. So give that some consideration. A lot of people have morning rituals, but they don't have nighttime rituals. And now is your chance to start developing one so that you get a better night's sleep and your life improves.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high. Complain-free world, no more, no more.